The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, and welcome to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. My name is Emily Thomas, and I am a mom on a mission to get a new perspective. Y'all, I am not proud of it, but I spent far too long waiting for my daily irritations to resolve before the good times can begin. And I'm thinking the struggles are just going to keep coming, so I might as well get a new plan. God promises if we persevere through our daily struggles, our character will be built, and we'll end up with a hope that doesn't disappoint. And I don't know about you, but my hardest days happen when I've lost sight of that hope. So if that's your story too, join me each week as I interview someone who has passed from just struggling to struggling well.
Hey guys, and welcome back. This is episode 39. So my husband pointed out that I had made a mistake, as all good husbands do. When I told you about the launch team last week, all I said was that you needed to get 1,000 fortune cookies, take out the fortune, and put in something about Mom Struggling Well, about the podcast, so that people could know about it. He told me, though, that I failed to mention what you need to then do with the fortune cookies. So this is what you need to do. Listen up. You take your 1,000 fortune cookies and you find like a classy Chinese restaurant, like a super good one, you guys. And then you sneak the 1,000 fortune cookies with the Mom Struggling Well information inside the cookie. You sneak it back into the kitchen to be distributed to all the patrons. And if you guys feel like that's too hard, I'm gonna say, I don't even feel like you're trying. You know what I'm saying? Like, you try it and then you tell me it's too hard. A baby could sneak 1,000 fortune cookies into a Chinese restaurant, you guys, a baby. You can so do this. And also, I've had some requests to be on the launch team and it's not real. I was just kidding, you guys. I just wanted to be clear about that. There's no launch team, just 1,000 fortune cookies. Okay, so I needed to read this review because it was so funny. JNF316 says, the title, LOL, literally. And if you guys listen to my talk with, I think, Rachel Baxter, I detailed my extreme dislike of LOL because I don't feel like it's actually happening. I do not think you're LOLing as much as you say you are, and I have a problem with that. I do see my hypocrisy, though, because I use that emoticon, is that what we call them, of the laughing, crying man. I use that like it's my job all the time, every day. Probably every single text message I use has that at the end. And I'm not, in fact, crying when I'm laughing. But for some reason, that means completely fine with me. But LOL, I detest it. So the subject of LOL literally, of her review, that made me LOL literally, but I will never say that. So anyway, she said, Emily's ability to make you feel like she's an old friend is remarkable. Whatever, JNF316, you know we're old friends. You know that's your nickname. She's relatable and down to earth. Her guests are always great. And no matter what the topic is, I always learn something and I usually laugh out loud. It's an honor to be in the mom trenches with you, Emily. Thank you for all the encouragement and laughs. You are so welcome, JNF316. You guys, leave a review. It really helps people know that it's not just me taking a bunch of people's phones and putting reviews. It lets them know that actual people listen and they actually like it. So please, take a moment and leave a 5-star review for the Mom Struggling Well podcast. If you don't feel like 1,000 fortune cookies is doable, try it before you decide you can't do it. But if you feel like for some reason you can't do it, you can just leave a review. That'll work too. That's plan B. Okay, let's get on with the real reason that we've gathered here today. This week, I'm chatting with my friend, Jolene Underwood. She's a mom of 21 children. I think 2 is going to be the end of me most days, but she has, through biologically having kids, stepchildren, foster kids, taken in kids who just don't have homes at all. She has weathered some serious storms, like 21 kids, but also other storms like an eating disorder, self-harm. She was in a date rape situation and she ended up pregnant. She's had miscarriages. As you can imagine, you guys, she has a passion for living with hope and faith beyond our circumstances. You're really gonna like our chat. We talk about incremental steps that she took towards enjoying her life. She also talks about surrender and what that looks like after some serious trauma and what she does to remind herself that God is safe. When you've been in a really bad situation, it's hard to think that God is safe. So let's go ahead and get started. Hey, Jolene, welcome to the show.
Hey, Emily. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk more. I met you at the Declare Conference a couple years ago, right, I think?
Yes. My first recollection of meeting you was actually in the bathroom.
That's what I was going to say, but I thought maybe I'm making that up, and that's a weird thing to make up. So good.
Yeah, and you were, I think, promoting Brave Love.
Yes, for the listeners, I think their tagline or something they say is, that they try to elevate the status of birth moms.
Yeah.
Which I think is super important.
Yeah. I was intrigued by that and I was really excited to be able to sit with you at the table last year at Declare and start to connect more.
I know. So good. And we started a mastermind group that still masterminds today.
It's awesome.
So please tell my listeners, who exactly are you?
My name is Jolene Underwood and I am kind of new to the blogging world. I'm not one of the ones that started many years ago, though I wished I was. I had wanted to. I'm a mother to, I say a mother to many children. I have 5 children between my husband and I. Mm-hmm. I had 2, he adopted my first 2 and I have a stepson and then we had 2 together and we fostered, I think it's 13 children.
Oh my goodness.
And we have another boy who lived with us for about 8 months and still calls us mom and dad and he's adult and grown.
Did you adopt any of your foster kids?
No, we didn't. Our fostering situation was very different than what most people experience with fostering.
Okay.
It was a lot, very quick. We actually moved in 2012. We lived near Austin and we moved about an hour away to a ranch that was owned by a foster agency and we knew the owners there. And it happened really, really fast. I mean, lightning fast. I had an idea that something was coming and it wasn't quite tomorrow, but it really felt like it. Within 2 weeks, we saw this website for the ranch that wanted to have foster parents living on site to take care of larger sibling groups.
Okay.
And it was out in the country on 156 acres. And wow. So we would have up to 12 children in the home, including our own. And they were going to have organic gardening and a library. I used to run a nonprofit library.
Okay.
And they wanted a guy to work hands-on with boys, teaching them like life skills, which my husband's super good at.
Okay.
So basically, I saw the site and it felt like dominoes dropped in front of me. And I told my husband about it and he was bouncing out of his seat with excitement. Aww. to call and find out about it. So I called the owner that day. It was a Friday. And literally the next day by 9 a.m., we were in a 12-hour training session for foster care.
So you were not foster parents before this?
Never before.
Wow.
Had vaguely talked about it.
Okay. My goodness.
And literally you're leaving tomorrow. Like the next day, we were at training. And the day after that, we went and drove down to the ranch. The property had just been bought and no one was living there yet. And we moved 2 months later.
Wow. And how long did you do that?
We lived there about 14 months.
Okay.
We thought it would be a lot longer. We were kind of open to whatever God had for us, but it just became clear towards the end that our time was done. It was time to come back home. In that time, we brought 3 of our biological children with us and another boy who was 16 when he came to live with us. They all heard the news the same day and in shock.
Yeah. What did they think?
That at first, one of my sons had just had a girlfriend and he was thinking, I don't like this idea of moving away.
Yeah.
But the next day, we all went to the ranch together to check it out. And the kids, when did we go? It was early February, the end of January. It was just a kind of a beginning of a beautiful time of the year. But over those 2 months, you know, the wildflowers in Texas were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids started to hear about horses being on the property. And it was 156 acres and the river was on the property. And they got excited. They got excited about being out there and dad not driving into work every day. Dad being right there.
So good.
Yeah.
So looking back on it, because it's been, how long has it been since you did that?
We've been home for almost 3 years.
Okay, so looking back on that experience and being foster parents and all that, what were your takeaways from it?
I learned so much. I grew. I was challenged in ways beyond what I could have even fathomed. One of the things that I say most of all is that I learned at the ranch how much I needed God.
Okay.
Because when you have so many children with so many needs And we were also facing numerous spiritual battles and the number of things that went wrong pretty much on a daily basis. It was really surreal, the amount of obstacles that we had. But I was in such a desperate place. Like, how do I survive each day, Lord? How can I give to these children and do this job well, or even survive it? And some days I felt like, can I just get through the day? At one point, I had a friend who said, you need to just play the Bible on audio. So I had my laptop running 24/7 for a while, just trying to get my mind focused back on God, and just brought me to this place of desperation. How much I needed to hear his voice. I needed his strength to sustain me, and I needed his guidance and how to handle different situations with kids that I'd never not been familiar with before.
Did he show up?
Absolutely.
What did that look like?
Well, I'll be honest. At first, it felt like it was distant. You know, God was distant because I wanted him to show up in certain ways. It took me a while to just really recognize that he was kind of getting me into a place of just quieter in my heart to hear him and to recognize him coming through. I remember one specific instance where I was getting really frustrated. It was towards the end. I was in the van. We had a 15-passenger van. And as was fairly common, everybody was pretty much going haywire in the car. There was very...
Yes, I've had that.
Very loud.
I only have it with two and I still lose my brain. So I can't imagine.
Well, I would literally do a whiteboard seating chart and decide who was going to sit by whom on which days, depending on how they were in their relationship with another child.
Wow.
In that day or that last couple of days. I mean, we had to pull over a lot because sometimes they'd take off their seatbelts, and it was 15 minutes from town to the school. Anyway, I was driving home and I was getting very angry and very down. I was just feeling really dark, and I had the radio off, and the kids were so loud, and I've done this before where sometimes I just kind of shock my kids. I'm like, hey, you know, not like mean or anything, but just kind of like something that kind of gets them off kilter, and they totally lose their train of thought of being angry. So anyway, I turned the radio up suddenly and it was pretty loud. And the words that came on the radio was, don't give up. Help is on the way.
Wow, that's so good.
I just about fell apart in the car. I was like, okay, I can make it through today. I'm going to keep going. Thank you, God. I needed that. He would ask specifically how God showed up. And he used his people in several different ways.
Okay.
There was volunteers that would come out. And we have a Spanish-speaking community at our church. And we had Hispanic children who most of them didn't speak English and we didn't speak Spanish. So in addition to learning how to connect with this sibling group of five, we also didn't know their language. And so the Hispanic church came down just to kind of connect with their hearts because they could speak their heart language, which is Spanish.
Wow. I cannot imagine fostering five children who you do not speak their language. Wow. Okay, so you thought you'd be there longer.
Yeah.
God showed you that that was something that was going to happen before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But then you went thinking you would be there a while. You weren't there as long as you thought.
Mm-hmm.
Did any part of you feel like it was a failure?
I didn't feel so much that it was a failure. What I wondered more was whether we didn't hear from God and should have maybe left sooner, only because of the level of stress that I had. I was showing signs of PTSD at this point.
Okay.
And I tend to do too much and overfunction. And so for me, it was more of needing to hold on to the positive moments and the amazing things that God did, because we saw huge transformation in these children and huge spiritual breakthroughs, which I do not want to neglect that ever. But so for me, it was more of kind of, wow, did we wait too long? Is our family going to make it? We were all so, really, they call it aftercare trauma.
Okay. You mentioned you do too much, and something you're passionate about is emotional health and kind of having good boundaries and things like that. So tell me about how you came out of that kind of traumatic, even though God told you, you went obediently, great things happened, but there was also some residual super hard things. So how did you come out of that?
Yeah. I mean, initially when I came back, I could hardly get out of bed or out of a chair until at least noon. And we still had a lot of unpacking and a lot to do. And there was just so much grief and anxiety that had been built up. And I started writing as a means really to keep my brain churning and processing everything that was going on, because what it felt like inside was all this turmoil going on, and threatening to shut me down completely. Okay. And so in a way, it was like fighting back just to read some Christian books. I read Trusting God When Life is Hard by Jerry Bridges. It was fantastic. Listening to worship music, trying to write. And it was hard. I carried journals with me for months and I didn't write a word in them.
Why did you carry them?
Because I wanted...
You thought you might?
Yeah, because I wanted to record some of the memories. There was just so much pain there. I couldn't even get it on paper.
Was the pain, what was it from? Just being overwhelmed or just the amount of things happening?
The thing is, it wasn't just the stress, the physical, but there was also a heavy spiritual aspect of it. And it was such an intense time for such a long period of time. One of the things that I learned about myself is that God has wired me to be a heavy thinker. I took the StrengthsFinder test.
Yes. Every one of my guests is talking about StrengthsFinder right now.
Yeah. Well, I've heard about it for quite a while because our pastor is pretty passionate about it. But I finally took it. And in my top five, four of them were in the thinking category.
Okay.
And so the other one is responsibility. And I took another profile called the Kendall Life Language Profiles. And it showed me as a high contemplator, but also a high responder. What was really helpful for me to hear from somebody else say, you have this internal struggle inside where you really need time alone to think in quiet and solitude, mm-hmm. but you really want to respond and help others.
Okay.
In pursuing the healing and in taking some of these profiles and kind of taking the time to learn myself, I realized I really needed the time to process things, and that's okay, which I kind of didn't want to have that anymore. I wanted to
respond.
Yeah, I wanted to respond. I wanted to give of myself 24/7. I just really came to learn that there are some real physical limitations, and I really wrestled with, God, how do I be okay with who I am and the things that I know that you call us into? How does it work to be me in some of the big pictures of how you work?
Yeah, that's such a big question. I think we all wrestle with that.
Yeah. I also... someone had told me about EMDR therapy. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of that?
I have. Tell the listeners about it, though.
If I can recall the acronym correctly, it's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing.
Okay.
And so I loved the concept of it. Dr. Caroline Lee talks about the science and the neuroscience in our brain, and it really combines biblical principles with physical things that are happening in our brains.
How?
And
what this lady's writing does?
Dr. Caroline Leaf. She has a book called Switch on Your Brain, I think it's called.
Okay.
And if you look up Dr. Caroline Leaf, her videos are fascinating. She shows where there's actual like trauma memories that are in our brains and how things can be zipped down to generations and how speaking positively and retraining our brains can actually make physical changes.
Hmm. What we think really does change how we behave. So yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So EMDR therapy, it basically, you kind of go through a traumatic event, or you may be processing something that's very calming. They connect the two by using both the left and right side of your brain. It helps kind of reprocess the level of the trauma that you've experienced.
Okay. So that when you think of that same experience, it's no longer as traumatic.
Correct.
So you still have the memory, but you don't have the intense feelings that go along with it. Is that
correct? Yes. Yes.
Yes.
That's correct.
And you found that helpful?
Yes, I did a few sessions of that. For me, what happened that I really wasn't expecting, but found to be even more helpful, I think, it happened with EMDR sessions and it happened in some other inner healing that I went through our church, is seeking what God had to say to me and to speaking into my heart about those situations of those fears or a particular circumstance. And at this point, I was actually processing some going farther back, you know, initial more childhood memories, things that had happened, and Jesus showing up in those moments mm-hmm. and revealing things to me that I didn't know. For example, I didn't realize until I had done one of these EMDR sessions that the word enjoy was, well, when it came up in the session, it caused me to completely panic.
The word enjoy.
The word enjoy. It was specifically used in a context of Jesus telling me that he had created all these things in the world for me to enjoy. And when the counselor brought it up as my comforting word, exactly the opposite happened.
Hmm. Okay.
That told me, wow, you have really wrestled to enjoy God and to enjoy the things that he's given you. And I've worked out of a sense of responsibility and duty.
Hmm.
And lacked the joy in doing the things. Mm. And as hard as it was initially, it brought me through a process of really talking with God and being honest with God about how I was feeling, how this word was making me feeling, and then taking incremental steps, very intentional steps to enjoy life and to enjoy Him in new ways, specifically seeing God smile, which was different for me. I grew up and went to church every Sunday, and the image that I saw every Sunday was this very serious picture of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes.
And some people, I'm sure, know which picture I'm talking about. And my little heart just, I empathized for Jesus' pain, and I started to take on this role of me being God's protector.
Interesting.
Instead of God protecting me. And so part of this healing journey has been the Lord showing me those things, revealing to me the false beliefs that I've lived under and the truths that He wants me to know, and really holding on to those, and then activating those truths by taking specific steps, encouraged, knowing that God's already equipped me and told me to respond in a way that is in accordance with His truth.
Yeah. It's interesting that we sure get some things right, but because we're so fallible and easily confused, like you said, responsibility, that's great, but not to the point that we don't enjoy our life and have the abundant life that He's called us to. So it is interesting how there's nothing wrong with responsibility, but when you think you're responsible for God, that's not quite right. not quite.
Exactly. So that's been a huge part of my healing process, is really coming to understand what those ungodly beliefs are and really engaging with God in His truths.
Okay. So you told me that surrender is a big deal for you.
Yeah.
How does that relate to all of this?
So I think it ties to responsibility. I've also overfunctioned in feeling that other people's responses were my responsibility. So as a result, I've been in date rape situations twice.
Man.
And yeah, I'm lost my virginity that way. And in the second case, I got pregnant and I had my second son. Hmm. And there's a part of me that, you know, I realize I put myself in, you know, unhealthy situations. And so I always kind of wrestled with my part versus the fact that I did say no and He didn't respect that. Hmm. But surrender to me feels very scary because I felt like I needed to surrender to everybody else. Hmm. One of the other ungodly beliefs that I was living under was that everybody else is more likely to be right than me.
Okay.
So there was no confidence on my part for what God had already put in me. So I would surrender in very unhealthy ways. And I understood the term in unhealthy ways.
Okay. So how has that concept changed? And how did you change it?
Well, I'm still in process.
Yeah.
I really think a big part of it is reminding myself over and over again that God is safe.
Okay.
And I don't know why that would even become a question for me when I felt like I had such a strong relationship with God for so many years. I think it's because of the burden that I was carrying wrongly, and recognizing that it's safe for me to let go of holding on to all this other stuff and just kind of be completely vulnerable before the Lord and completely trust Him with provision in everything. And so God is showing me that the little things that I'm holding on to still that are causing me to try to trust in myself over Him, He's saying to let those go.
Okay, so for someone who just feels like God isn't safe, or the people who have been in positions of responsibility in their life, they haven't been safe. Mm-hmm. So of course, their concept of God is not accurate. Mm-hmm. What have you found when you have surrendered to the idea that you really hope is true, but you're not sure if it's true, that God is safe? What has happened?
I have found that in wanting to want God fully and wanting to want that assuredness of being safe in Him, that what God's done is not said, hey, I'm going to pull you directly from your completely fearful spot and you have to jump over this big cavern over to here and be 100% assure with me. He's saying, I'm providing each little step along the way, and I'm just asking you to lift your foot and take the next step.
Okay.
And so in that, I've been able to see more and more, and bit by bit, a bigger picture of who God is and how safe He is and how much He cares, by not ripping it all, I don't know how to phrase this correctly, but if you think of somebody who has been a burn patient. I remember hearing about like third degree burns, and they have to do this debriding thing, and it's very, very painful from my understanding.
Yes.
And there is pain associated in the process of growing with Christ, because there's literally like this feeling of our flesh kind of being cut away, mm-hmm. but it's not this huge, dramatic, you have to let go of everything right now because everything is here with me. He lets us step with him, and he's holding our hand along the way.
Yes. So it's little by little. It's gradual. It's not going to be more than you can handle.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I think people do have dramatic breakthroughs and dramatic changes, and that's great, but it's not the norm. And mm-hmm. I've expected and wanted that because I know God could do it. Mm-hmm. So part of my trusting has come to learn, okay, I'm going to accept what you're giving me today.
Yeah. Well, because then we have to depend on him, which I have been trying to work out a way to not have to depend on him forever. That's my idealism. Like, I'm pretty sure I can do this. I just need one more try. So when I do fail at something, or when I do mess up, I feel confused. I mean, less now. And I'm realizing that I need to depend on him. But yeah, the quick fix would be fantastic, because then we could go on our merry way and just not even need him.
Right. And I think that's something that we want in so many areas of life. I've just been thinking about the concept of peace lately.
Okay.
And it kind of goes along with emotional health. We want God to just change our circumstances, or just change us, or just drop a blanket of peace over us. Mm. And sometimes I think he gives us a grace of experiencing his peace in a supernatural way in certain times. But in general, when we're praying for peace, it comes through drawing near to Christ and experiencing his presence in a moment, regardless of what those circumstances are. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come from those circumstances being whisked away.
Yes, exactly. How can he comfort people who are grieving unless they're grieving? Like, we want the comfort without
right.
the grief associated with it.
Yeah.
We're a confused little bunch of humans.
We are, but he's so gracious to us to let us kind of flounder and fall down and get back up.
I don't even know why. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so irritated with myself and all the other humans that I bump into. Like, I just think, Lord, you're so good to us, because, oh my gosh, we're annoying. Oh my gosh. So you mentioned that you had a really hard time even with the word enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're walking through this journey, how do you practically step out to try to enjoy your life?
Well, just the other day, I posted a photo on Instagram that was very intentional. It was one of me making silly faces because I was trying to record videos for a project I'm working on.
I saw that.
Yeah. And that, it's not very typical of me. I'm trying to take steps that are maybe not so serious. And mm-hmm. so posting it and actually showing selfies of me and me being silly was really a very intentional step to say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to enjoy this and let it go.
That's good.
And it was fun. And it's those little things that really start to build up. And in the back of my mind, I'm also thinking of Jennifer Dukes Lee. She has a book coming out called The Happiness Dare.
Oh, good. I loved her last book.
Yeah. So I'm thrilled to learn more about it. And you can find out, you know, hashtag The Happiness Dare on her site. She has more details. But the whole concept of seeing God as a happy God and delighting in those moments with him,
mm-hmm.
even in enjoying my colorful pens.
I love a good office supply.
Yeah, exactly. I would feel guilty for having, you know, maybe too many pens. Right now, I'm enjoying them. I have two caddies of pens, and my husband looks at me and he says, "You really like your pens, don't you?"
Yeah. There are worse things to be addicted to, is what I would probably say.
Yeah. They're fun.
They're fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had mentioned to me that you are working on a project, going back to the emotional, like taking care of yourself emotionally. So tell me more about that.
Awesome. I'd love to share. The tool that I'm creating is called Unleash Heart and Soul Care.
Okay.
And this just came about, I think, in January. I wasn't able to write. I was just having a hard time and not being able to think through the creative words I wanted to put together, but I was obsessed with planners.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of people are.
Yeah. And I stumbled across Laura Casey's Power Sheets, and I was really intrigued with what she was doing. And
love those.
I just said, you know, I'm going to start writing some things down. And what ended up coming out of that was really some of the things that I'd kind of been doing in my time with God, and, you know, initially I wasn't able to journal, but once it opened up, I began journaling a lot. And in these times with God, processing the actual thoughts that I was having and getting honest with God and honest with the feelings I was having, such as anger. I mean, it was a big deal for me to say, I'm angry with you, God.
Okay.
And to be honest. Yeah. And so I began writing some things down that I thought might be part of a planner, but it ended up becoming something completely different. And essentially, what I have right now is a short tool to nurture care in our hearts and souls.
Is it mainly for somebody who has been through trauma or who just doesn't really know how to talk to God, or maybe both?
Honestly, it's pretty versatile. I'm suggesting that people could use it in their daily quiet time or as a means to simply kind of process the week, or if they're facing challenging circumstances or a decision that they need to make, or they're starting to recognize patterns in their life, or they are looking for some form of inner healing, not to replace formal counseling, but to either enhance it or provide kind of a jump start. So it could be used just as a daily faith growth tool or as something that helps bring you through some trauma as well.
Okay, is it like a book or is it something that they write in and like print off, or do they buy it from you? How does that work?
When it's finalized, it'll be available as a download, and it's 10 pages. So the first 8 pages are simply like an introduction letter from me and guidance on how to use the tool, in, as well as 2 pages of feeling words.
Okay.
To help expand your emotional vocabulary.
That's great. I think a lot of people deal with mainly happy and sad and mad.
Yeah. Yeah. I went through it this morning and I was just having so much fun with the feeling words. I think I wrote down 12 different feeling words. Oh, yeah. I'm feeling that and that and that and that. Mm-hmm. And even though we know these words, but they don't come to mind in the moment, and identifying them helps bring clarity to ourselves, and getting honest with ourselves and with God also opens our hearts to being available to what God wants to do. So kind of the process is you start writing. The last 2 pages are worksheets, and those are something that you could print out multiple copies of. You know, hopefully someday I'll have them as something that could be pre-printed. But initially, it's just going to be a download, and I'll have videos to help walk through the process. But you start by recording what's happening, what's going on in my life right now, or what is the decision that I'm facing. Or you can just record, hey, you know what? I have to buy diapers tomorrow. My sister's coming to town next week. Whatever. Just begin the process of writing down and recording and noticing things.
Okay.
And then the next question is, I'm thinking, and you write down what actual thoughts you have. This is where you take time to actually record the words that you're saying to yourself. Mm. So you may find yourself saying, I'm so stupid.
Yeah.
And you don't really want to acknowledge that you're saying it, but if you write it down, it releases the power of the enemy to keep that in darkness inside of you.
It's true. And it's so enlightening to realize what you're telling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Things you would never say to someone else.
Yes. And I found the other day, I'm thinking a lot of judgmental thoughts about someone else, and just getting it out there and putting it down on paper went, oh my goodness, I'm really in judgment right now. Mm-hmm. And that's not healthy for me or for them or for our relationship.
Exactly.
So the next box is I'm feeling, and you have your help with the feeling words vocabulary and also some prepositions that I put in there. So you would maybe say, I'm feeling discouraged because somebody canceled plans with me, or I feel angry when this happens.
Okay.
And so it's kind of putting some clarity to it.
Mm-hmm.
The next step is to invite the Holy Spirit into a time of quiet that you're going to have a minimum of 3 to 5 minutes, which I know can be hard for moms, but the honest truth is we spend so much time hearing from the enemy and from the world. And if we can't take 3 to 5 minutes to really seek God's presence and just hear from him, it's just hurting ourselves.
Yes.
I feel it's really important to at least find some way to get at least 3 to 5 minutes for that quiet. And there's a big box there to write down the words or to draw a picture. Some people may do better with art.
Mm-hmm.
And so the box is big enough that you could just kind of paint your response. And this may be really unfamiliar for some people because, you know, hearing from God, a lot of times we wrestle with, oh, I'm not hearing from him. And there may be different reasons. One, we're just not used to it. We're not very familiar with what his voice sounds like. There may be, you know, unforgiveness that we're just harboring and we need to let go of it. There's different reasons that we can feel like we're not hearing God's voice, but I guarantee you, he wants to speak to us.
Mm, that's so good to, yes. Some of us think, well, he would speak to other people, or right. he spoke to people during Bible times, mm-hmm. but it's 2016. That's not something that happens.
Yeah.
But it is.
A lot of times there's something that the Spirit will speak to us very quickly, and we brush it off and we tell ourselves it's something else. And so in this time of silence and reflection, I really encourage people to just write down whatever comes to mind. It may seem completely random. It may not make sense, but write it down and see what's happening, and keep going with the process to see what God does and to start getting familiar with hearing from him.
That's so good. I remember, because I used to be an English teacher, and doing free writes, it seems like you know exactly what's going to happen. Or even from writing a blog post, you think you know where you're headed because you're the one at the steering wheel. And then, but it goes a whole new direction and you are like, where did that come from?
Right.
You know? And so it's so important to get it out, and you will be surprised by what comes out.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just the first page. The second page goes into some time with your scripture, reflection, acknowledging sins or fears, and gratitude and praise. There's several other steps. But
so this is meant to be used daily?
Daily, if possible, at least regularly, at least a couple times a week.
Awesome. Well, it sounds really very practical and useful. So words are a big deal to you if you're carrying around journals.
Yeah, right.
So you started this thing called Rise Up Writers.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
So much fun. I'm having the best time with this group. It is different than my blog, and it is a newsletter that I provide every other week, approximately. Occasionally, I slip another one in the in-between weeks, but really the newsletter is spirit-led encouragement, part spiritual, part writing encouragement. So Rise Up Writers is a group for people who use words, whether writing, speaking. It's interesting. It's a very eclectic group.
Okay.
For example, a science fiction author. We have somebody who writes scripts, Hollywood.
Okay.
Spoken word poets and songwriters. It's very eclectic who God's brought together in this group, but we all have a heart to seek God in the way that we use our words and be able to show him. So the premise of Rise Up Writers, the tagline is know, be known, make known, because the more we know Christ at an intimate level, the more we can rest in being known by Christ in order to make him and his truths known. And so the idea is kind of comes through this tension that a lot of writers and bloggers feel in promoting their works, in sharing their message, also the isolation that you can feel. So there's a number of nuances that writers just really need encouragement and inspiration to keep going, because if God's given us messages, that's something that we need to steward well. And we do that best when we're close to him and just getting to know him and letting him speak to our hearts.
That's great. And so how can people get involved with that?
You can look up the hashtag Rise Up Writers or go to my website, joleneunderwood.com.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have a Facebook group, and also the newsletter includes some questions that cause us to think a little bit deeper about our motivations, or maybe challenge us to be more brave and to take the steps of courage that God's calling us into.
That's great. I think that's a really needed community.
I'm blessed tremendously by the people in the community. It's been amazing.
So I have a question that I didn't prepare you for.
Okay.
What would you say is something that your mother did that really made an impact on you that you have continued on in your own family?
That is a great question, Emily. And what a way to kind of consider with honor our heritage.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was really good about traditions.
Okay.
Just a traditional something that we could expect generally on Sundays. And this is not like everybody has to go out and do this, but it was a special thing for us. And so I'm trying to find my own unique ways, because I do not do the Sunday tradition.
Okay.
She would make apple coffee cake.
Yum.
Every Sunday morning.
Okay.
Fried chicken dinner with fresh mashed potatoes and cream corn and the works for lunch.
Wow.
And homemade pizzas for dinner, which we would watch with Disney. I think it was on Sunday nights at that time.
Oh my goodness.
So it was not every Sunday, but pretty consistently, and it was pretty amazing. And then on Valentine's Day at dinner time, our plates would always be turned upside down, and she always had a little gift of some kind. It might just be a box of chocolates or, you know, something small.
Mm-hmm.
And I began that tradition with my kids.
So why are the plates upside down?
Because it's hiding the gift.
Oh, okay. I get it. Okay.
Yeah. So you can't look at it till everybody's ready. And that's just as dinner is ready. So I started doing that with our family for Valentine's. And my husband and I had decided we're not going to go out on Valentine's Day because it's too crowded anyway.
Yeah.
We're going to have a family meal. And we started doing crab legs.
Okay.
Regularly for Valentine's Day.
Awesome. And your kids look forward to that?
Yes, very much.
That's wonderful. Okay. So I have one more question for you.
Yes.
What is something you cannot stop talking about at this point? People wish you would, but you can't.
I would have to say Costco.
What's your favorite thing at Costco?
Oh my goodness. One of my favorite things I stopped carrying, and I almost put this on Twitter, like what you feel when Costco stops carrying your favorite item.
Oh my goodness. I know. Heartbreak.
And yes.
What is it for you?
Well, we called it pink sauce.
Okay. That sounds kind of gross.
I know. But it's a lot easier than saying the name. The brand name is, oh gosh, I don't even know. It's an SK something. It's a jalapeno Greek yogurt dip. And I use it on tacos and with eggs for breakfast tacos. And
nice.
So we didn't have it the other day, and I made pulled pork tacos yesterday. So I had to create my own, and it turned out all right.
Okay, but so much easier just to open a container.
It is. And yeah, I mean, Costco, there's just so much there. That's good stuff.
It is. We had a Sam's Club membership, but anytime we went out of our house and saw someone else with something that we liked, even if it was like a shirt, you know, like I don't think of Costco as a place I go to buy my clothes, but it just seemed like it didn't matter what it was. If it was delicious or wonderful, people got it at Costco. And we started to get really angry at that response because we were Sam's Club members and we're like, stop saying Costco. So we finally, and we even, our Sam's Club membership was free. And we said, we cannot live with ourselves anymore. We must become Costco members. And we are.
Yeah, it is funny. We get a lot of clothes from them. And that's one of the things you asked was, I can't stop talking about when I had, my husband did a surprise birthday party for me a couple weekends ago.
Oh, nice.
I was wearing a new dress and I got compliments on it. And I'm like, Costco.
Oh my goodness. Who knew? Right. It's so funny. I bought, when I first moved to Texas, I love that burnt orange color.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really excited to live in Texas. So I bought a burnt orange shirt that said Texas on it at Costco. I had no idea that I was, we're not sports people. I was walking into this whole, people were yelling at me and I didn't know. Some of them were happy, some of them were mad. And even at church, it wasn't even safe at church. And so I don't wear that shirt out anymore. Costco clothing story. It was a little dramatic.
Yeah, people are very passionate about their colors.
Oh, for heaven's sake. So my favorite thing at Costco, since you asked, no, just kidding.
Please tell me.
Their pesto is phenomenal. And we will put their pesto on everything. And it's a gigantic jar. And it tastes better than any other pesto I've ever, like noodles, turkey, quesadillas, grilled cheese sandwiches. It doesn't matter what it is. And people think my kids are so fancy and cultured because they're like, oh, well, do you have any pesto for this? You know, it's like, it's not culture. It's that it's salty and it's got cheese in it and oil and it makes things more delicious. So I put on everything.
Oh, that sounds really great.
So did you verify that your pink sauce is in fact discontinued, or were they just out of it?
Well, they just didn't have it at this time, and they have skipped it before, and then they tried to come out with this, a different kind of spice. It wasn't jalapeno, it was something else, and it was not very good.
It's not going to work.
And they replaced it with even bigger containers this last time, so I don't know.
So maybe it's going to be like a 5-pound drum.
That might be a little scary, at least for my waistline.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope they bring it back for you.
Me too. Thanks.
Well, thanks for talking to me, Jolene. I think that you shared a lot of really important things.
Well, thank you, Emily. It's been so fun just being able to chat with you and just share my heart. Thank you.
You have a good day.
You too.
Okay. Bye. So good, guys. I loved it. I loved her talking about the word enjoy and how that really gave her an uncomfortable feeling until she kind of realized why. I had a similar situation this week. I was spending time with God and I realized I was just kind of sitting there afterwards, after I was done reading and I had prayed, and I just was sitting there and I thought, oh, I'm kind of like loitering. I just don't exactly want to leave yet. Then I immediately thought, well, that's a really negative word to use. Like, loitering is illegal. You can't do it at the airport when you're trying to pick somebody up. You've got to keep going, or the security guard tells you, like, no loitering. Like, it's a negative thing. But then I realized sometimes I think God doesn't like me. So it would be loitering if someone's hanging around and you don't want him there. So I looked up loiter, and loiter said basically to hang around with no real aim. But then under it was a synonym, linger. And so I looked up that, and linger is to stick around because you just hate to leave. And I thought it was interesting that my first thought of what God thinks of me is that I'm loitering, like a negative. And that lets me know, like, I really think God doesn't always enjoy my company. But that's not true. It's more that I am realizing slowly but surely that he really does enjoy my company, and that because of that, I want to linger. So it's kind of a small shift
in the word, but the trajectory is very largely different. So I think it's interesting how God uses words to help us better flesh out the concepts that surround our time with him and our relationship with him. So I don't know, just kind of think about that this week, maybe. What words do you really not like, or what words do you think God thinks of when he thinks of you? So what piece of wisdom will you take away and use as your strategy to struggle well this week? Maybe you can do what Jolene did and listen to the Bible on audio in your house if you're feeling like you really need just that extra all the time reminder. There's a Bible app called Bible.is. I really like it because it is kind of got some music in the background, and when someone's talking, it's a different person speaking. So it kind of is more of a dramatization of the Bible, and it's kind of interesting to listen to. My kids like to listen to it sometimes too. So that's something to think about. Maybe you like the idea of starting family tradition. It's funny that she talked about Valentine's Day. Maybe like 5 years ago, I started the tradition of a scavenger hunt on Valentine's Day for my kids to get their little treat. And I didn't mean for it to become a tradition, but I'm telling you, as far as they're concerned, it's not Valentine's Day unless there's a scavenger hunt, but it's fun. It's good times. Maybe you need to get Jolene's Unleashed tool and use it during your time with God to kind of think about and process through some hard things. Maybe you, like everyone else on the planet apparently, needs to do the Strengths Finder. Every single one of my guests talks about Strengths Finder. It's so funny to me. I wish they had like a referral program that I could be a part of, because I would be a rich woman at this point. The links to all that stuff is in the show notes at momstrugglingwell.com. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I did, and I hope that you have a great week of struggling well.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.